I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
This is Full-Time Catholic Radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the Internet at WDEO.net.
Action is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Thursday, June 25th, 2015. How are you? Hope you're doing well. Good to be with you. This program, once again, as you just heard seconds ago, a co-production of the EWTN, Global Catholic Radio Network, and Ave Maria Radio. Always check out our websites. Tons of really good resources for you on both EWTN.com, of course, and AveMariaRadio.net. All right, so coming up at 15 minutes past the hour, given the fact that the Supreme Court could possibly rule today, they're saying it could be today. Of course, other legal experts say because the 4th of July holiday is next weekend, we could go for another week before the Supreme Court issues two very important rulings, one on Obamacare, the other one, of course, on marriage in this country. So two really, really big deals, really, really big situation that affects us in so many ways, especially as Catholic Christians. So at 15 minutes past the hour, we're going to check in with our friends Lewis Brown and Mike O'Day, who are experts in the area of Catholic health care, the Christus Medicus Foundation. They're going to be joining us, and they will be live to take your calls and also to discuss, you know, either way, what the court decides to do regarding Obamacare, how will that play out, and what does that mean to you and to me as faithful believers. And then we'll wrap up a Thursday morning, which I know is going to be an interesting discussion with Bill Panetnaud, who wrote a fabulous piece for Catholic World Report, which is another one of those really great resources out there. Love the work of Catholic World Report. My friend Carl Olson does such a good job. It's just a really, really good resource for articles that explain what happens in the culture, what we're seeing in the church, what we're seeing in the world, with a truly Catholic perspective, but also very well done intellectually. Of course, it's not too difficult for those of us who don't have theology degrees to read. That's what I like about it. They're well-written, well-thought-out pieces, well-documented, lots of great attribution, lots of resources within those pieces. But again, easy for you and me to understand. So that's coming up on the program today. Also, I want to address something that's been making headlines. And again, this is what we're always stressing. Doug and I mentioned this on Monday. Joan Lewis and I mentioned it on yesterday. I put resources in my blog. It's very important, especially right now in our culture, when the church continues to make news because, obviously, of the marriage issue and the Health Care Act, but on an international scale, of course, the Holy Father is always making headlines because the press are trying to make him into something he is not. They are trying to make him into the Pope of the Church of what's happening now. Newsflash, the Pope is still Catholic. More evidence to that is how they are twisting and just running wild with one of his beautiful comments that he made regarding people who are struggling in marriages. And you can read it, and I'm going to read the quote for you. And you compare that to what some of the news organizations are saying. Okay? He had quite a beautiful message yesterday, and Joan Lewis and I discussed the message on the program on Wednesday. Beautiful audience messages he's been giving lately. He has been hitting so hard on the dignity of the human person. Male and female, we are created in the image and likeness of God. You can't have this gender ideology. On and on and on and on, especially the last 2 or 3 months, whether it's at the general audience, whether it's in the encyclical, whether it's to groups that come for meetings at the Vatican. And he even said this when he was in Sarajevo to the young people, to stand up for the truth of who you are, made in the image and likeness of God. He's been talking a lot about male and female complementarity, which, of course, Benedict and John Paul II did amazing work on as well. So what are the media going crazy with? They're trying to say that the Pope is encouraging couples to separate. Yeah. They don't look at the quote in context. and they're not looking at what the Pope is doing in light of what's going to be discussed at the World Meeting of Families and at the Synod in October. The Church is trying to address the fact that many couples are in stressful or uncomfortable situations. Many are separated. Many are, if they're not separated, really struggling in their marriages. There are a lot of single parent households out there. What the Holy Father was saying yesterday was that parents, especially parents who are still in a marriage, have to really make sure they're taking care of each other, because it has a direct impact on the family, which has a direct impact on the culture and society. But he addressed the fact that couples, many couples, are living in irregular situations. And he said sometimes, depending on the situation, the volatility of the situation at home, a separation, a temporary situation, or separation, excuse me, might be necessary. But he specifically referred to cases of exploitation and violence. So in other words, if there is physical abuse going on, what the Church is saying is that we don't expect a partner to constantly put themselves and the children in harm's way. They may have to temporarily move out of that situation and seek counseling and seek healing for the other partner. This is not exactly news. It is not encouraging people to walk away from the marriage. It is encouraging people to get help in a very difficult situation. And it's really wrong and really bad journalism. I don't even want to call it journalism, to sit there and to say that the Pope is suggesting the opposite. It's just cheap and sleazy, and don't buy into it. So you can go to news.va and you can see what he said yesterday, and it's actually quite beautiful. And look at it in context, okay, as opposed to what the press are doing. Andrew and I were talking right before the top of the hour. They just say the Pope is talking about sometimes it's inevitable that couples are going to separate. I don't even think they got that specific. And they didn't even explain what he meant in the larger context. All right? And he said, and here's the quote, the Pope admitted there are cases in which separation is inevitable. Sometimes it can become even morally necessary precisely when it comes to subtracting the weaker spouse or small children from serious injury caused by arrogance and violence. Does that sound like a Pope was saying, yeah, you're not getting along, you're not excited anymore about, you know, seeing your spouse when you get home, it's not working for you, so separate, no big deal. No, he's saying there are very serious situations. They are addressing reality. And especially earlier in his audience message, he talked about spouses breaking the fidelity of the marriage and looking for help, support elsewhere while still being married. Now, to me, I took that as men or women getting into other, you know, relationships, being unfaithful to their spouses, whether it's through an actual physical relationship or maybe through pornography. I mean, and when we look at porn and violent porn and the impact it's having on relationships. Last week when I did the interview on the new book on 50 Shades of Grey coming out, I had two women writing me about how their husbands, when they started to use porn, got into violent porn and they were being abused. These women were being abused. So this is a reality of our world today, and this is what the Pope was addressing. Now, again, he didn't specifically mention pornography, but he's addressing a reality of a situation in marriage. And I'm glad the Church is talking about this, because we all know people who are in difficult situations, and we shouldn't be afraid to address it. But by no means is the Holy Father, the head of the one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, saying it's no big deal to separate. He specifically referenced very difficult situations and specifically referenced harm that could be done to the children or the weaker spouse regarding violence, exploitation, and also using the word arrogance. So, I have to remind you, when you hear this kind of a headline, please, this is why we exist, as Doug Keck said on Monday. We want to give you the full story. We want to give you the fullness of truth, which is what we have in the Catholic Church. And I get so frustrated as someone who worked in the business, news business, for 20 years, when I see them trying to hijack this to support their own agenda. which is an anything goes agenda. And if marriage is not working for you, no big deal. Oh, Mamma Mia. Okay, to breathe. But really, the headlines are all over the place. And it just drives me absolutely nuts. Just saying. EWTNnews.com. EWTN.com. News.va, where you can actually pick up the full statements as I just read to you, right? AveMariaRadio.net. We got all kinds of resources on there, too. You want to know the full story or the rest of the story? As Paul Harvey used to say, go to the source. And consider the source when you hear something about the Pope or the Church. Amen. Amen. Okay. I'm done. Now we have to do the news. It is about 10 minutes past the hour, so we'll do this quickly. We'll take a break, and then we'll talk with Lewis Brown and Mike O'Day regarding Obamacare and what could or could not happen at the Supreme Court. And it could happen today. This could be the day, the nation waiting for two major rulings in the Supreme Court before the clock runs out on its current term. One of the cases, a challenge to taxpayer subsidies in the Affordable Care Act. If the court upholds a challenge, well, it could mean some real damage to Obamacare and good news for a lot of Catholic groups. The other closely watched case involving the legality of efforts by some states to prohibit so-called same-sex marriage. Now, the justices plan to adjourn for the summer sometime before the 4th of July weekend. As the Supreme Court will rule on same-sex marriage, this is a really good story, by the way, on EWTNnews.com. Before month's end, again, over 50,000 Catholic, Orthodox, Protestant, and Jewish leaders have united to stand up for marriage as between one man and one woman. The pledge champions marriage between a man and a woman and asks the Supreme Court not to attempt to redefine marriage. The document, crafted in advance of the case in which the court is deciding, of course, whether the Constitution allows states to prohibit so-called same-sex marriage and whether states may refuse to recognize those marriages performed in other states. If the court recognizes a right to marriage for same-sex couples, signers of the pledge say they will not agree with the decision. The pledge also has a natural law analysis that has largely been absent in Christian communities, but signers of all backgrounds approved it. Texas Senator Ted Cruz thinks Congress should let Obamacare die if the Supreme Court hands down a decision against the law. Appearing on Fox News, a GOP presidential candidate saying he would not support a short-term extension of the Affordable Care Act.
If the Supreme Court rules as many observers expect, it will conclude that the Obama IRS violated federal law and illegally imposed billions of dollars of taxes on millions of Americans, millions of young people.
Once again, the Supreme Court could announce its decision on whether Obamacare subsidies are legal. That could happen as early as today. More than 22% of female undergraduate students at the University of Michigan, get this, report having been the victim of non-consensual sexual behavior in the last year. Listen to what this U of M student says about what she refers to as an atmosphere of permissiveness on campus.
It's a college thing now. It's expected to have an app like Tinder to just find people and see them one night and then never see them again.
Unbelievable. The university is surveying a sample of 3,000 people and finding that about 11% of all students experience non-consensual sexual penetration. Only 3.5% of those cases reported to the university because most of those respondents did not want to get anyone in trouble or blame themselves. That's an interesting story to talk with Dr. Meg Meeker about that. Andrew's sending that to her as we speak, as a matter of fact, and she will be on again with us in another week to discuss it. A delegation from Philadelphia in Rome this week, making final preparations for the upcoming World Meeting of Families, set to take place, of course, in that city at the end of this coming September, led by Philadelphia's Archbishop Charles J. Chaput and the mayor of Philadelphia. The delegation working with the Pontifical Council for the Family and other Vatican offices to finalize details of what will be the Pope's first visit to the U.S. since his election. A federal prosecutor in Boston in the Boston Marathon bombing case is weighing in after a judge has formally sentenced Josar Zarnayev to death.
In that courtroom today, I felt proud that not just to be a Bostonian, but also to be an American, because you heard a number of victims say, not only are we Boston strong, but we are America strong.
After that decision for the death sentence was handed down yesterday, Ortiz added she was disappointed that Zarnayev did not renounce terrorism and that he couched his comments in line with Allah. leaving the courtroom. This bombing survivor says he was shocked to hear what the convicted killer had to say in the courtroom.
I'm not sure. It might have been a step in the right direction, but you know, we'll see. I was kind of astounded we heard anything to begin with.
A second arrest has now been made in connection with the escape of those two convicted killers from an upstate New York prison. Alexa Olson has that story.
New York State Police announced yesterday that they have arrested 57-year-old Clinton Correction Officer Gene Palmer in connection with the escape of Richard Matt and David Sweat. Palmer is charged with promoting prison contraband, two counts of tampering with physical evidence, and one count of official misconduct. He has pleaded not guilty and was sent to the Clinton County Jail on $25,000 bail. Alexa Olson reporting.
President Obama ordering some changes to the government's hostage policy. Families of overseas kidnapped victims will no longer be threatened with prosecution for trying to pay ransom. It's a move that former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani tells Fox News he doesn't think should have been publicly announced.
President Reagan did this, not just President Obama. But in those days, you could do it with plausible deniability. You didn't have to have it as a rule. The minute you announce it as a rule, these people start thinking, I got a business here, and I can make a lot of money this way.
Speaking at the White House yesterday, the president said what families go through when their loved ones are kidnapped is an unrelenting nightmare. He added the terrorist threat is evolving and noted that governmental policies must change as well. The revised policy remains firm in stating the government will not make concessions to terrorists, though government officials can be involved, helping to locate and recover American hostages. 15 minutes past the hour on a Thursday morning edition of Catholic Connection. You're listening to EWTN, the Global Catholic Radio Network. Our phone number is 877-573-7825. What could the Supreme Court do regarding Obamacare? We'll find out up next. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Reno Frazetta with Smart Money Financial Advisors, based here in Southeast Michigan. Have you ever thought about how to approach retirement the right way? How much money is enough to retire on? When you do retire, how much income will you be able to rely upon sustainably? When should you take your Social Security benefits? What will you do to allow your retirement plan to provide you safe income without significant stock market risk? And at what age will you run out of money? These are all questions that we help our clients deal with every day. If you'd like to have a good retirement roadmap and a clear and confident path forward, let us show you how. Or better yet, call me direct for a free consultation at 877-909-7233. That's 877-909-7233.
Advisory services offered through CoreCap Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Tired of expensive and immoral health insurance? CMF Curo is the first of its kind Catholic healthcare sharing experience. It's affordable, Christ-centered healthcare and is faithful to church teachings. It provides access to medical care that protects your religious liberty and respects the gospel of life. Live your faith, choose life, and join CMF Curo today. CMF Curo empowers families to experience Christ in their healthcare. Alleluia. That's CMFCURO.com.
This Ave Maria radio program is underwritten in part by Visiting Angels. Many people are wondering how they can care for older family members who cannot fully care for themselves. Visiting Angels provides compassionate home visits even up to 24 hours per day, and you may select your caregiver. Visiting Angels assist adults nationwide to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide help in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Visiting Angels is online at visitingangels.com. Visiting Angels, America's choice in home care.
Hope you're having a blessed Thursday, June 25th, 2015. Getting ahead of myself. I was about to say 16. 877-573-7825. Today could be the day. It could be the day. Supreme Court, we're waiting for two very major decisions, one regarding the Health Care Act, Affordable Care Act, and the other, of course, involving marriage. Both affect, well, the entire world, society, families, but especially those of us coming from a Catholic Christian perspective. Well, we're going to take a look, first of all, today with our experts on health care in the Catholic Church and how we Catholics should be concerned about it, with our friends from the Christ Medicus Foundation. And the website is cmfcuro.com. And we'll give you that website one more time, Lewis Brown and Mike O'Day. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Teresa. It's a pleasure to be on.
And I know that you were gracious enough to join us at the March for Life, so it was great to have you there as well. I know Brian Patrick interviewed you back there, and we were talking, you know, leading up to this decision, and it's amazing that we're here already. It could come out today or possibly at the latest next week before the justices retire for the summer at the end of their term. Lewis, let me go to you first. What are your thoughts? What do you think? You kind of lay it out for us. What could happen? What could the Supreme Court do regarding the Affordable Care Act?
Right, sure. So, you know, what the Affordable Care Act did essentially was create two types of state health care and really a federal health care exchange. So you have certain states that have decided to have a state health care exchange where the state, that state government is some in some form or fashion running the health care exchange in that state, and it's receiving monies from the federal government to do so. You also have situations where a state declined to set up its own health care exchange, and under the law, the federal government can come in and essentially run a health care exchange for that state. What the plaintiffs argue is that the Affordable Care Act expressly says that there's subsidies that are going to people in order to provide essentially discounts or coupons for them to purchase health care insurance within their state health care exchange. And so it says, as the plaintiffs would argue, that the law expressly provides that only individuals that are in state health care exchanges have access to those federal subsidies under the Affordable Care Act. What happened after the Affordable Care Act was passed is that the IRS promulgated a rule, and again, recognizing that Congress is the lawmaking body, the IRS is only an agency that can make rules. The IRS came along and said, no, these federal subsidies can go to both individuals in the state health care exchanges as well as to individuals in the federal health care exchanges. The plaintiff says that's not right, and the plaintiffs are several individuals that live in Virginia. The defendants in this case is essentially the federal government. King is an individual in the state of Virginia. Burwell, it's called the case is King v. Burwell. Burwell is the secretary of the Federal Department of Health and Human Services. If the plaintiff wins and the Supreme Court finds that the IRS is wrong, the rule violates the Affordable Care Act, the rule's illegal, and therefore individuals that are in the federal exchanges should not have access to these federal subsidies, what will happen is about, you know, according to factcheck.org and HHS, as well as the New York Times, a couple different sources, somewhere between 7 and 8 million people would lose their subsidies on the federal exchanges, and Congress would have to provide some type of response. The reason why this is such a big deal is that it would require immense changes to the Affordable Care Act. It would open up an opportunity either to have pretty extraordinary amendments. It would open up an opportunity perhaps to repeal it, depending on what Congress wants to do. It's probably unlikely the president would sign it. But it also allows an opportunity, I think, for individuals, for Catholics, for other groups, for those that are pro-life, to strengthen the conscience protections that are in health care, also to strengthen the prohibition against the public funding of abortion, which really doesn't exist in the Affordable Care Act today. So that's why this is such a big deal for health care in general, because there's going to be some type of response if the Supreme Court rules for the plaintiffs, and there's going to be a lot of changes in health care if the case goes in that direction.
Mike, let me go to you before we take a break. We have about 3 minutes, so I'll let you wrap this up before we take some calls in our next segment. What is your gut on this? You've been involved in insurance and health insurance, and you and Lewis have been monitoring this whole situation very, very closely. What's your gut telling you in terms of what might happen?
My gut is telling me that the Supreme Court is not going to want to, you know, see these subsidies, you know, lost to these people. I don't think this they're going to decide, you know, in favor, you know, of doing away with these subsidies. I just don't think they're going to do that. That's my gut.
So what happens then? What does that mean for us?
Well, what it means, we're, you know, in the same situation we are, you know, right now. It just means that the federal government will provide money, you know, to both the state and the federal exchanges. And we'll go on as we are right now. But I do see, you know, the main thing that we have to do in health care is we have to get health care conscience protection. That's what's really threatening us. That's the basic fundamental freedom of this country, and that's been taken away from us.
All right. Well, we will take a quick break and take your phone calls at 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. Are there any efforts right now that are pending to do what you just mentioned, Mike?
Well, that's why I wanted to give your listeners the ChristMedicus.org website. Healthcare Conscience Rights Act is there for us right now, H.R. 940, and we got, I believe, 147 co-sponsors. And what we need to do is to get a grassroots swell to get Congress to vote on this legislation.
All right, we'll take a look at that. Let me give your website, too, again, so people have that information at cmfcuro.com, cmfcuro.com. We'll be right back.
The following is a message brought to you by the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan.
In chapter 32 of Exodus, the people God led out of Egypt were worshiping an idol in the image of a golden calf. God wanted to consume them in his wrath and start a new family with Moses. But Moses implored the Lord, "Remember your servants and how you swore to them, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky." The Lord responded to Moses' prayer and relented in mercy. Psalm 103 explains, "As the heavens are high above the earth, so great is God's mercy toward those who fear him." God's mercy was brought to the ancient Israelites through the intercessory prayer of Moses. Likewise, God calls us today to be intercessors for the church and for the whole world. We can be confident God hears these earnest prayers of our hearts, just as he heard the prayer of Moses. To learn about prayer and scripture, visit the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan on Facebook or at cbsmich.org.
Underwriting by Ignatius Press.
Pope Francis's document, Praise Be to You, on care for our common home should be received by all peoples as a guide for taking care of the earth we all share. Francis beautifully connects creation with its creator, challenging us to base our ecological responsibility on love for what God has made and given to us. He implores the proper use of natural resources and calls for a change of heart and way of life. Pre-order your hardbound copy from Ignatius Press at 800-651-1531 or ignatius.com.
Hello, this is Steve Ray. My wife Janet and I invite you to join us this year on one of our many biblical and Catholic adventures following the footprints of God. There's nothing like the Holy Land where God walked. It is safe and life-changing. And now we have Holy Land Part 2 for those who want to dig deeper. Board the ship and join us as we follow St. Paul, the Blessed Mother, and St. John on our Mediterranean cruise visiting Italy, Turkey, and Greece.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, go to AveMariaRadio.net and find the pilgrimage link.
If you have a question for either Lewis Brown or Mike O'Day from the Christ Medicus Foundation, cmfcuro.com, C-U-R-O.com, 877-573-7825. Again, that's toll-free, 877-573-7825. Before the break, Lewis, Mike was saying that we really need this groundswell of support and grassroots concern. And I don't want to be a naysayer or a doomsday-type person, but one of my frustrating things is that there's an awful lot of apathy out there, even among so-called Christians. And we had a recent Pew survey that showed that the biggest group out there now among Christians is the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, where people still call themselves Christian, but they don't identify with any particular religion. So it's really not a huge item on their radar screen. How do we get the public really engaged on this issue?
Right. I think it's two things. I think the first thing, right now we're in the middle of the Fortnite Street. Okay?
Right.
And on Monday we had the feast day of St. John
Thomas
Fisher
Moore.
And Thomas
yeah, St. Thomas More, right.
You know, almost the entirety of England, before King Henry VIII decided to break away and establish the Church of England, almost the entire country was Catholic. And if you look back in the history, it takes your breath away, the speed at which, they de-Catholicized essentially, what became the state religion, and caused a major break that you know had implications for you know political implications, but most importantly implications for souls for generations after generations after generations. And there were a lot of people, a lot of folks in England at the time that knew it was wrong, and they did nothing about it. And it's sad. St. John Fisher is you know one of the few, and St. Thomas More one of the few that stood up in truth. And you're going to see this. I think what will wake some people up is if the Supreme Court, they're a little bit of different issues, but they're coming from really the same place. If the Supreme Court rules in favor of so-called, you know, same-sex civil unions or same-sex marriage, it will take our breath away, the speed at which our religious liberty will be.
Oh, yeah. The next thing on the agenda will be hate speech. And those of us in Catholic radio and anybody speaking out from the pulpit on marriage, it'll be hate speech.
That's right. And I think you see the same trend line that's going on with marriage is the same trend line that's going on in healthcare. Folks are saying that I think one of the political candidates and perhaps in the same way that one of the New York Times columnists talked about, folks must be made to change our moral code when it comes to issues of so-called reproductive health when they say that they're talking about abortion. And so we have a moment here as Catholics in the United States to stand up, speak out, witness to truth. It's not when we witness to truth publicly, it not only has a public consequence, but as a consequence on our souls and the souls of others. We can't let this opportunity go by. History has shown us, the saints have shown us the way, and now is the time. And that's not being, it's not being Chicken Little, it's not being overly dramatic. It's just the truth of where we are. And so we have a responsibility. It's put up or shut up right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Mike, any comments?
Well, you know, I just, you know, want to reflect back on, you know, this whole battle of healthcare and religious liberty. And, you know, even Richard Dorflinger, who has been so engaged in this whole issue, he just pointed out recently, and I got a quote here from him, and, you know, I totally, you know, go along with what he's saying. He says, in 2015, as in 2014, the most urgent public policy issue in bioethics will be the question whether protection for conscience and religious freedom will survive in the face of insistence by powerful elites that commitments to the dignity of human life must be overridden by their own vision of human progress and well-being. And if we don't get engaged this year, the next, you know, Congress, when they come back after the, you know, after the 2015, they're probably going to do nothing on this. And then even under a new administration, whether we get somebody we think is going to make changes, it's just not going to happen. The battle is now for the future. The only other hope we have is what's being done by good, faithful Christians, you know, Catholics and other denominations that just are, you know, going to change the culture. They're just going to continue, and they're going to suffer, and they're going to make changes, and they're going to make them gradually, and it's going to, you know, take us years to really recover, you know, the beauty, you know, of our teachings in the church.
I want to address a question from one of our callers. I don't have actually time to take the call, but she brings up a good point. And she's talking about some of the people who identify themselves as Catholic, including, I think she's referring to the nun from the Catholic Health Association, who've been in support of Obamacare and, you know, the president speaking at the Catholic Health Association. That lends itself to a lot of confusion, does it not?
Absolutely.
Okay, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say about it. I mean, talk about scandalous. You know, in the most crucial area of our culture, and to have a religious sister, you know, speak out. I mean, she's very powerful, and she has so much influence, and it's I don't know how she got the influence she does over all of these Catholic hospitals. I mean, it's insidious.
But see, this is the thing. You have, we know the truth of the faith. We know what our faith teaches us. And then there are those out there who are still identifying strongly with the faith in powerful positions, whether they're in politics, whether they're in the medical field, wherever they're at. And there are these dual messages constantly going on, unless you're listening to EWTN or, let's say, another maybe conservative Christian media outlet. You're not going to understand, because Catholics in general sit there and say, well, you know, really doesn't matter. I could do either or. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, the only thing I know that, you know, could be done to reverse, you know, the leadership of Sister Carol Keehan is for these leaders, you know, in Catholic hospitals. And I know there are some, but they're going to have to put their jobs at risk. I mean, their martyrdom is going to, you know, be, I might lose my job. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that's going to have to happen in these Catholic hospitals. Because we need people that are going to give witness to their faith in those positions.
Well, I think we need it in those positions, and I think we need it across the board.
Absolutely.
I mean, really do. Lewis, I'll give you the last word. We have about 3 minutes left.
Yeah, I think the good news is, in addition, you know, there's a lot of bad things going on, but there's a lot of good things. And I think I'm thinking of Emmaus Health, which is a wonderful Catholic primary care clinic in Ann Arbor. In Denver, there's a Bella National Care Clinic, won by a wonderful woman, Dee Dee Chisholm. We have Curo, our Catholic health care sharing ministry. There's the Religious Sisters of Mercy that are doing wonderful things. And so I think as bad as things are, what's called on is for us to be affirmatively answering to the Lord, not only with a righteous anger, but with things that witness
with solutions,
new ways,
right?
New
with solutions and with, and with opportunities to do the right thing within those individual systems. Correct?
That's right. That's exactly correct.
All right. So, Mike, what will we find? What will be helpful on the website, cmfcuro.com?
Well, cmfcuro, your listeners must just go on, and that's to really sign up to our health care, you know, alternative to the Affordable Care Act. But they also need to go to christmedicus.org. And that will give them the information on the conscience legislation and what they can do to make a difference. It's very easy for them to contact their legislators even through, you know, christmedicus.org. So they've got to go to both websites. But the individuals, you know, Catholic families, our answer, CMF Curo, is a wonderful program for them, both a spiritually, you know, sound program, but also it's going to be very economical for families.
All right, well, stay close to your cell phones, gentlemen, because you know we'll be calling you depending on what the Supreme Court does regarding the Affordable Health Care Act, and it could happen as early as today, as late as next week before the 4th of July holiday. Lewis Brown and Mike O'Day, God bless you both. Two websites, christmedicus.org and also cmfcuro.com. We'll be right back to talk more about the Pope's encyclical. Stay tuned.
Did you know you can study theology, philosophy, and pastoral ministry at Detroit's Sacred Heart Major Seminary? Many students attend Sacred Heart because of its academic excellence. You'll be challenged to high levels of accomplishment by expert professors who teach from the heart of the church. Many students attend Sacred Heart because of their interest in the new evangelization. You will learn to proclaim and defend Catholic truth with new methods and new vigor to an increasingly secularized world. Sacred Heart's campus in the heart of the city is easy to reach from all major freeways. Evening classes, online courses, and satellite courses this fall term at Our Lady of Good Counsel in Plymouth work well with your personal schedule. Learn more at study@sacredheart.com, including our wide choice of programs. But hurry, application deadline for fall is August 14th. Classes start September 8th. That's study@sacredheart.com. Study@sacredheart.com.
Republicans, Democrats, no matter which political party is in office, there are always investment opportunities to be found. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds won't compromise the moral beliefs of its investors. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. The portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and moral values. Call toll-free 866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. Our phone number, if you have a question for our guests, 877-573-7825. Again, 877-573-7825. Well, the new encyclical by the Holy Father, Praise Be to You, has generated a lot of speculation and debate even months before it came out. And, of course, it's just recently out. But now that it's here, what are we supposed to make of it and do with it? And what can we learn from it? Well, William Patnaud is an engineer with Rhode Island's Department of Environmental Management and a special lecturer in theology at Providence College. Very qualified to answer the question. Recently writing a great piece for Catholic World Report, talking about the topic in detail and explaining, totally agree with this, and this is not brought out at all in the secular media and the reports because they're concentrating mainly on the environmental comments. The central thesis is that the fallen nature of the human heart and the resulting brokenness of human relations is a cause of the crises in our lives, families, nations, and the life-sustaining ecosystems that form our common home. That does a really nice job, Bill, of summarizing the whole encyclical, I think. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Teresa. Thank you very much for those kind words.
Well, and thanks for writing the article in Catholic World Report. I love that publication. So, obviously, you've read the encyclical. It's one of the longest, if not the longest, encyclicals in recent years. Your general thoughts once you read it?
I was completely delighted. I really, myself, was getting caught up in all of the back and the forth and the anticipation. Although, I've read a few encyclicals in my day, and I've been covering the Catholic perspective of ecology since 2004. Certainly have read pretty much everything John Paul II said, Benedict XVI, and Pope Francis. So I was not expecting what most people in the secular press were expecting, but I still didn't know quite how Pope Francis was going to deliver the goods, so to speak, and how he was going to present this. And he did it so beautifully, and he did it so respectful of the human person and so mindful of really what the Church's role is in the world, which is to present an anthropology, an understanding of what it means to be human and the problems that we humans have. And those always come down to our relationships, either good or bad, whether or not we have good or bad relationships with God, with each other. And what he's telling us is with creation as well.
There is a lot of criticism, though, among Orthodox Catholics of the encyclical as it relates to, ecology and the environment, saying that a lot of it is not really proven science, some of the statements that he makes. Well, what's your reaction to what's being said about that aspect of the encyclical?
Well, as you know, I'm an environmental regulator, and in the particular issue of climate change, I know that's the one that everybody brings up, because he does talk about water pollution, and there's really not much you can argue about that. And he does talk about biodiversity loss, and there's really not much you can argue about that. But in the issue of climate change, there's certainly a great debate. That debate is really limited to mostly the United States and in some ways Australia. The international environmentalists that I work with, Catholic environmentalists that I work with, are kind of intrigued that this debate is going on in the United States because it's not really happening in other places. But the important thing to remember is that in Laudato Si, out of 246 paragraphs, only four are dedicated specifically to climate change. So he's not writing a climate change encyclical, as so many people had said prior to the release or still saying it. There are still people in the mainstream media who are still calling it a climate change encyclical. It is an encyclical, as you said. It's about human relationships. It's about our relationships with God. And it's about the answer to the problems that we have. And that answer is, of course, Jesus Christ.
Of course, that obviously hasn't picked up by the secular press. They pretty much ignored it. And the whole thing where he mentioned you have to accept your body and the body is a gift, I thought that was interesting, really touching on what we're seeing so much in our culture now, this whole transgender thing that's going on.
Yes, and really what he's saying there in his own way, his own way that I think a lot of people could kind of get it when they read it, even if they don't want to talk about it, is that you know, just as we say there are laws of nature that we violate, you know, we can't add toxic pollutions to our water supplies because there are laws of nature which will impact us in our health. So just as there are laws of nature, there are also natural laws. And we can't violate those either because they will impact us and others. And that's really kind of a great philosophical point that the Holy Father is making, but he's making it in a very informal way. People understand that. They may not appreciate what he's saying. Some do. I do. But he did it so beautifully.
Did you ever wonder right now, given what's happening, what we could hear from the Supreme Court possibly today, and, you know, maybe next week regarding so-called same-sex marriage, the debate that's going on in our culture that continues with the hot-button issue of abortion, the attacks on marriage and family, why something on the environment and ecology?
A couple of reasons, and that's a great question. And it's funny you mentioned that, because as I was watching the news cycle, I wondered about this confluence of, and here in the States, the confluence of the United States Supreme Court decision on marriage and this encyclical. And they really are related. Benedict XVI, in 2009, in his third encyclical, wrote a very important line. He said, "Our duties towards the environment are linked to our duties towards the human person. These links can benefit us. For those of us who are preaching a gospel of life, for those of us who are countercultural now by saying that marriage is an institution between a male and a female, we sometimes need to find different ways of saying this, because sometimes people don't listen to us. And I argue that the environmental discussion is one that we can have at. Just for that point that we just mentioned about what Pope Francis said about the male and female, accept who you are, there are ways to have conversations about the natural law which can begin with those conversations about the laws of nature. So we begin with something we agree with. We agree with the environment. We need to do a better job of protecting it. But then we begin to unravel that and understand why we do. We go deeper. And as we go deeper, we can have discussions about human life and the dignity of human life from conception to its natural end. And we can have conversations about the moral and natural law, because there are laws that we cannot break, as we said. So marriage falls into that category. So we can have these discussions, and we can approach them from different ways. And the environment and this encyclical is a great way to do this. And one thing I would add is this encyclical is best if you read it. And I know a lot of people sometimes are talking about it right now, especially in some of the conversation I've had with some of my secular environmentalist friends. They haven't read it yet. So I encourage all people to read it. It's online. I know Ignatius Press is going to be coming out with a great version soon in August. They can check that out. But people should read it, and they should read it in groups. They should read it in parish settings and really begin to unravel the wisdom that Pope Francis has put before us.
I get what you're saying, and I totally see that. And I was thinking that as I was going through it, and I haven't read the whole thing, but I've gone through parts of it. And there's also, for me as a media expert and consultant, there's great stuff in there about the media and how that's even abused, and that ties back to the dignity of the human person and the environment and ecology and everything else. So that I thought was really very helpful. But you and I are having this discussion. Are they having this discussion and looking at this as it relates to, you know, this throwaway culture that he mentioned in the encyclical? I don't see those discussions, and I'm just raising this as a cultural analyst as well. I'm not seeing these types of discussions going on in the secular media and with some of the pundits and whatnot who are looking at this. They are still concentrating on their issues that they are concerned with. They're not talking about how this relates to the dignity of the human person, how if we can't be, he basically says it, and I'm paraphrasing, he basically says you can't be so concerned about trees and water and not be concerned about the unborn child. You can't have this throwaway culture, in humanity and yet be so concerned about the environment, which is so true and goes back, as you said, to what Benedict and John Paul II have also said. But I don't see those discussions being had just like we're having today, even though you can start, as you mentioned, with that common point. I don't see that happening in the culture yet. What's your take on that?
First, it's only a week since it's been released, and I agree with you. That conversation probably won't happen in the secular press unless we bring it there. And the work that you're doing is exactly the type of thing that we Catholics have to do more of. We have to bring it out ourselves. Whether it's a letter to the editor in our local newspaper, whether it's a more substantial piece, whether it's some activity, maybe it's some parish organizing panel discussion that's open to all people. What a great means of evangelization and catechesis that is on the environment, for local environmentalists and local people to do that type of thing. We need to do this because we need to get the message out, because it's true. And really our job as Catholics is always to preach the gospel. And this is really one way to do that. The secular press is not going to do that for us. unless they're made to, or unless it becomes profitable for them to do it. But it will happen. You can't stop the truth. It will come out, and we need to be participants in that. And that's really our role in the next months and years ahead with this document.
All right, let's take a quick break. We're talking with Bill Patton now, and he wrote a terrific article on Catholic World Report regarding the Holy Father's encyclical. If you have a question, 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. We'll also give you a link to Catholic World Report, which is published by Ignatius Press, when we come back. It's a really good resource. It's one of my resources, and, of course, my friend Carl Olson is there, does a great job, and it's just really, really good articles and all kinds of great information. When you see something happening in the culture, we're always trying to give you really good resources, so please check that out. We'll be right back to wrap up with Bill Patton on a Thursday.
This Ave Maria radio program is underwritten in part by Visiting Angels. Many people are wondering how they can care for older family members who cannot fully care for themselves. Visiting Angels provides compassionate home visits even up to 24 hours per day, and you may select your caregiver. Visiting Angels assist adults nationwide to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide help in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Visiting Angels is online at visitingangels.com. Visiting Angels, America's choice in home care.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile. 5% of your mobile plan price goes to a pro-life or Catholic charity at no additional cost to you. More information can be found at charitymobile.com. That's charitymobile.com.
Building the apostolate of the laity and leading in the new evangelization. Ave Maria Radio joins EWTN in spearheading the recovery of the American Catholic identity and equipping all Catholics to take co-responsibility for Christ's Church.
Hi, I'm Reno Frazetta with Smart Money Financial Advisors, based here in Southeast Michigan. Have you ever thought about how to approach retirement the right way? How much money is enough to retire on? When you do retire, how much income will you be able to rely upon sustainably? When should you take your Social Security benefits? What will you do to allow your retirement plan to provide you safe income without significant stock market risk? And at what age will you run out of money? These are all questions that we help our clients deal with every day. If you'd like to have a good retirement roadmap and a clear and confident path forward, let us show you how. Or better yet, call me direct for a free consultation at 877-909-7233. That's 877-909-7233.
Advisory services offered through CoreCap Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Wrapping up a Thursday and waiting, of course, for the Supreme Court decisions on marriage and ACA, the Affordable Care Act, and all tied together, of course, if we look at the dignity of the human person, is the latest encyclical from our Holy Father, Praise Be to You, which is the English translation. We're talking with Bill Patton, who has a terrific article on Catholic World Report with his background as an environmental person, an engineer, and also, of course, someone who's been writing from a Catholic perspective on this topic, CatholicWorldReport.com. And give us the title of the article again, Bill.
I'm going to have to get it because it's very long. It is Laudato Si, focuses on the heart of man and the disorders of our age. It was published the day of the release of the encyclical, so that was a week ago, so you have to scroll back a few stories to get to it.
Yeah, but they're archived. They have a good archive section, so it's up there.
Yes. Yes, they do.
Have you been getting a lot of feedback from the piece?
There is just under 100 comments below the piece right now, so there is a significant conversation going on. Unfortunately, I think it's a bit what you would expect. I don't know how many people who commented have read the full piece. I know there's a lot of concern. My goal is that we give the Holy Father the benefit of the doubt in this, for those who are critical of it, because really what he's doing is very strategic in a way. He's getting people to listen to him. There are millions and millions of people in the world who may not ever have heard the word encyclical in their lives. They may never have paid attention to an official document from the church. They may never have taken the church seriously. And they are now, because the Holy Father is saying something that they agree with. Well, that's how conversations begin. That's how Christ did so much of his work. He had conversations with people. He started dialoguing with people and then led them where they needed to go. And I believe firmly that that's what the Holy Father is doing here. And we leave it up to God. We try to build the relationships. We try to reach out to people. And then we let the Holy Spirit take it from there.
I think it's interesting, though, and I was talking about this with my general manager at Ave Maria Radio. Isn't it interesting that the world is paying so much attention to an encyclical when they could care less about such things as, you know, Humana Vitae? I mean, it's like, okay, so you're looking at this encyclical. Let's look at some other ones that the church has put out. What do you think? Not a bad idea, right?
Amen. Amen, Teresa. That is something I've mentioned a number of times, and I think that that's part of our job now as Catholic commentators to say, here's a summary of some other great encyclicals that, you know, sort of that line, but wait, there's more.
It's as if when the issues are concerned, is something of concern to them, when it fits in or they think it fits into their agenda, then they're all over it. Otherwise, they don't even take it seriously and even want to consider that it's in existence.
Yes, and the good news is that now that they are paying attention now, so now is a moment. This is a key moment to seize on this, to introduce these teachings of these integral teachings on life that can help us bring a culture of life to this world, that can teach the dignity of the human person from natural conception, all the way to natural death, that can teach the dignity of marriage between a male and a female. These are important times, and we really need to seize on them. That's why I give you so much credit for having this topic on the show today.
Well, we appreciate your work and also the work of our friends at Catholic World Report. And again, a good article, and really encourage you to go to the Catholic World Report website, catholicworldreport.com. We'll talk to you tomorrow on a Friday. Remember, God loves you, and so do we. We'll see you.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Underwriting by Ignatius Press.
Pope Francis's document, Praise Be to You, on Care for Our Common Home, should be received by all peoples as a guide for taking care of the earth we all share. Francis beautifully connects creation with its creator, challenging us to base our ecological responsibility on love for what God has made and given to us. He implores the proper use of natural resources and calls for a change of heart and way of life. Pre-order your hardbound copy from Ignatius Press at 800-651-1531 or Ignatius.com.
You might have seen a copy of the Michigan Catholic newspaper sitting in the back of your church, but have you picked one up lately? If so, you'll find we're not only Catholic news you can trust, but Catholic news you can use. Find out where your favorite priest is being assigned, read our popular Q&A columns, and learn more about your faith by reading the Michigan Catholic. Talk to your pastor or call 313-224-8000 or visit themichigancatholic.com.
A packed Sacred Heart Church in Dearborn, Michigan was the setting for a preaching concert by Father Stan Fortuna.
Like if you say, all right, you've got 10 seconds, say it now. 10 seconds. Boil it down. You're leaving. It's finished. 10 seconds. What are you going to say?
His mercy makes everything ugly beautiful. See ya. And then I could just...